We are going to talk about fear today. And fear is a complex emotion, right? And sometimes during things like this, like a game, fear can be fun. Obviously, they were definitely brave children. They could conquer those fears no matter what, to the point they didn't even know they had any fear. And some of us like fear. We do. I don't know if you know that, but a lot of people go to things during this time of season called a haunted house. They like to scare themselves silly. And so I thought it would be fun to first see what that kind of people who like that fear, what that looks like. So I found a few pictures. We're going to see some. Oh, I forgot. We do like to ride on rides, right? That's a fear that we have, is going on roller coaster rides. So there's that fear. Now, this is the haunted house ones. These are the haunted house ones. Yeah, that's pretty good. Let's see. She's terrified. She's terrified. So sometimes fear is funny like that, and it's a lot of fun. But sometimes fear isn't so funny, is it? Like sometimes we are so afraid that we can actually become paralyzed by fear. And we've all experienced fear, every single one of us. And when you came into church today, you were given, I've got to walk around the pack now. Hold on. Huh. I wasn't prepared for it on the other side. And so I gotta get mine out. It's in here somewhere. Oh, Jen's going to beat me to it. It went somewhere. Okay. You came in with a spider, right? A spider. Now, this is something you may not know about me. I'm terrified of spiders. I am really afraid of spiders. So much so that when I was sick one time, I hallucinated about a spider. It came down from the ceiling. It did get on a motorcycle and ride away, but it's beside the point. It scared me. It's an irrational fear almost, because there are some spiders that can kill you. So it can't be all that irrational, but spiders are one of my big fears. I cannot be the only one. So if you also have a fear of spiders, let me see your hand so I don't feel alone. Look at all these people. Thank you. Thank you for that. But some of you don't fear spiders. So I'm going to give you just 2 seconds. Turn to your neighbor and tell them what you are afraid of. What is something you are afraid of? All right. There's a lot of fear in this room. I can feel it. I can hear the talking. There's a lot of things that you're afraid of. And as we talk about fear today, I want you to hold on to that spider, and I want you to think about the things that you fear. And there are a lot of things to fear. And in fact, our fears even change over time. I don't know if you noticed this. Because when you're young, when you're little, most of us were afraid of the dark. Some of us still are, but that is a big one. Or even when you're even younger, you don't even remember, but you were afraid to be out of your mom and dad's sight. That was like, oh, don't take me from my mom and dad. And so that starts off, but your fears change over time. And as we get older, our fears, they become even more complex. And sometimes we are afraid of failure. We're afraid of rejection. We're afraid of being alone. And just about everybody has somewhat of a fear of dying. There's no shortage of things to be afraid of. And even though we are all so afraid, I don't know if you knew this, but did you know our world, our society, it's going to sound crazy. I looked it up because I didn't believe it. And it was true that we are actually the safest we've ever been. Isn't that sound crazy? Because I watch the news, and I wouldn't say that, but crime rates are actually down. We are safer, but we have more fear. We have more fear now than we ever have, and yet we are the safest we have ever been. So there's a fear that affects a lot of us, right? And that fear has become like a sickness. It is a sickness. It's a sickness, and it's called anxiety. And anxiety is that type of fear that really gets in the way of our living in freedom. It stops us from doing a lot of things, and so many people are now experiencing anxiety. And it's from our kids all the way up through adults. everybody is experiencing more and more anxiety. It's actually increased 25% more last year alone. So we are a fearful society. We are an anxious society. We are terrified, it seems. And it's everywhere, and it's not just at Halloween. But what if I told you that there was a fear that could actually help you with all your other fears? What if I told you that? Would you be able to guess what that fear is? The fear of the Lord. That's right, the fear of the Lord. And maybe you've heard this phrase before. Maybe it's your first time ever hearing this before, but we're going to unpack it a little bit and see how this fear could actually help us. And there are some things that the Bible actually has to say about it, and I found it pretty interesting. They kind of give us a little bit of what this fear is, and it kind of defines it for us. And the first one is Proverbs 22:4, which tells us humility is the fear of the Lord. And its wages are riches and honor and life. So apparently, if you get this fear of the Lord, if you take this fear on, it's telling me that what it will pay me, what it will put into my life are riches and honor and life. Isn't that amazing that this fear could do that? Because the fear that I'm used to, the fear that you're used to, it doesn't seem to do that. It seems to rob me of all my joy. And it makes me afraid to reach out and build relationships with others. It's another verse from Proverbs, also 19:23, tells us this. The fear of the Lord leads to life. And then once you have that, one rests content, untouched by trouble. I don't know about you, but man, I would really love to feel untouched by trouble. I don't know if you feel that you would want to be untouched by trouble, but I do. I want that. And the one thing that maybe this is a verse that a lot of us have heard, and it starts with this, is Proverbs 9:10. And that one tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. I want to be wise, right? And the Bible is telling me to start to be wise. The beginning of that is to fear the Lord. That's strange to me. So what is this fear? What is this fear? And how can it do all of those things? How can it bring me life? How can it bring me peace? How can it bring me honor? How can it bring me wisdom? Well, fear isn't always bad, is it? Sometimes fear is good. So I'm thinking that this fear of the Lord is something good. And that made me think of something else that maybe we should be afraid of, right? And it's fire. So you see this match up on the screen. You'll see a match. One simple flame, right? And there's so much good in that flame, right? I can light a candle so I can have light in the room and see. I can light a fireplace or a campfire, and from that I can cook food and I can keep warm. So that's really good. But if I don't approach that fire with some fear, with some respect, it could turn into a wildfire. It could ravage the place. It could be out of control. It could hurt me. It can be what was meant to bring good could also bring so much danger and leave destruction behind, right? And so as we talk about fearing God, it's sort of like that, but not quite. I just want you to know there's a good kind of fear. And I'm going to unpack how the fear of the Lord is a good kind of fear and how it's maybe different from the fear that you often experience. So this is how the fear of God works. It's approaching Him with respect. It's approaching God with the respect He is due, in the same way you use that match with the respect that the fire is due, right? And it's knowing who He is and encountering Him in all His glory. And then all of a sudden, when you do that, you get a glimpse of who you really are. because nothing is hidden from him. And there's this, that's a fear. It's a strange place to be. And if you remember that first verse, it said, humility is the fear of the Lord. So when I go into God and meet him and encounter him in all his glory, there is this fear, and I suddenly see myself in comparison to him. But then in his presence, I am transformed by it. I am transformed by his. And if you've never encountered God before, it can cause a lot of fear. It can, what is this going to feel like? How am I supposed to, I'm going to be in God's presence, the God of the universe, the God who is so powerful, he spoke the world in existence, and you want me to step into his presence? What's going to happen to me? So there is fear. And in fact, that is what happened with the Israelites. I'm going to set up the story a little bit. You know, they were rescued from slavery, coming out of Egypt, wandering in the wilderness. And Moses goes up the mountain to meet with God. And we're in chapter 20. And the people hear, and they see and they experience God themselves for the very first time. And it says in verse 18, when the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain and smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance. They didn't want to come near to God, right? They were terrified. And they told Moses, they said to Moses, speak to us yourself, and we will listen. But don't let God speak to us, or we will die. They could see that themselves, that this God was something way different than they were. And they couldn't quite deal with that. And it caused them fear. But Moses responds to them, and he says, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of the Lord, fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. So strange. We're terrified. Don't be afraid so that the fear of God will be with you. It's kind of not making sense a little bit. It's kind of seeing that it's at odds. But this fear of God from this verse tells us it's going to help me keep me from sinning. In other words, it's going to change my life. It's going to change how I do my life, right? And we can see this in other parts of Scripture. And I'm gonna share a couple of stories from Scripture with you. And they're kind of similar. And the first one is from Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet about, I don't know, 500, 900, somewhere around there. My math is off today. Before Christ, before Jesus. And he has this vision. He has this vision that he enters into God's throne room, and it is glorious. His robe fills the whole temple. And we're going to read in Isaiah chapter 6. It says, in that year, the king Uzziah died. And I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, whose whole earth is full of his glory. And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. And then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And with it, he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. Now, isn't this a weird kind of story? Now, it's got a lot of imagery that is really, really a little weird. So here you have Isaiah in a throne room, and he's taking all this in, and there's these otherworldly creatures flying around, and they're singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." And suddenly, Isaiah gets a glimpse of who he is, and he's, "I am unclean. I am sinful." That's what he sees. And now the other weird part is this seraphim comes with a coal. And I know it sounds weird. It's a live coal, a burning coal. But notice what the angel says. The angel says, "Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for." This is what happens when you're in God's presence and you receive his forgiveness. Your sins are atoned for, and then you get this forgiveness, and what is your response? It changes. He changes from, "I am terrified," to, "Here I am, send me." He's standing before God, and he could be this still, but God's forgiveness changes him, and he's, "Here I am, send me." No longer afraid, full of confidence. And this isn't the only time in Scripture we see this. We see this in the New Testament when we go and we see the disciples and Jesus is getting ready to call them, and they are just ordinary men doing ordinary thing. They're fishermen and they're working. That's all they're doing. And they've been out all night and they've been trying to fish, and there are zero fish to be caught. And Jesus looks like an ordinary man, says, "Go out a little deeper, put your nets down again. We've done this all night, but because you say so, we will do it." So they do it, and guess what? The nets become so full of fish that they have to get help. Their nets are breaking. They pull it into the boat. The boat is now sinking. Right? They know this is no ordinary man. And I want you to look in Luke chapter 5, where Peter, his response, Simon Peter, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Being in Jesus' presence, he knew he was in the presence of Almighty God. And his first response is to see himself. "I should not be in his presence. I am a sinful man. Go away from me." And what does Jesus say to him? Jesus' response in verse 10, Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." And guess what Peter does? He does that. He's terrified to be in his presence, and suddenly, "I'm going to go save everybody. I'm going to go tell the whole world about Jesus. I am unafraid at that point." The fear of the Lord changes us to become confident in the Lord, to live for him. That's the difference about this fear of the Lord. And it's a strange paradox going on. We see people in God's presence and their natural response is to fear, and then they're told not to be afraid, and yet we are told that we should fear God. It's really strange. And this is when we have to remember that fear can be both good and bad. And the difference is the fear that leads us away from God, that is the bad kind of fear. The fear that turns us towards God, that's the fear that is good. And this good fear isn't quite the same. It doesn't feel icky like the other fear, right? It feels like peace. It doesn't paralyze us. It gives us confidence. It doesn't make us want to hide. It makes us want to step out. And it seems to give us courage. It gives us courage to live in a right way where sin is gone because we've been forgiven. And this fear is beckoning us to trust God above all else. And if that's true, then the opposite fear that tells us to run from God, it tells us to not trust God, it tells us to keep our eyes focused on all that is wrong and can go wrong, that fear is telling us that if I don't do something, I'm going to lose everything I have, and I grip and I grip and I hide. But the fear of God, he tells me he's got me. He tells me he is everything I need. He tells me that if everything else disappears and goes away today, he is right here with me and everything will be okay. It is peace. It is life. It is love. It is goodness. So do you still have that spider? I want you to hold on to it for a moment. I want it to actually be in your hands. Because as we talk about our fears, I want you to hold on to it, and I want you to think about those fears. I'm going to give you a few seconds to think about what fears you have, and I want you to think about the bad fears, the ones that are telling you to run and hide, the ones that lie to you, that tell you you aren't good enough, the ones that tell you you're never going to make it, the fear that tells you you aren't loved, the fears that tell you that you aren't worth it, that you're broken and useless. And so you hide yourself. You hide your true self. You make yourself so busy because you have to have all the things to prove to others that you are enough. Or you work yourself to death to achieve more so you can get that love and respect that you crave, because without those things, you're afraid that nobody will give you the time of day. I want you to think about those fears. I want you to think about the fears that tell you not to try or to give up, that tell you don't step out in faith, that tell you you aren't safe. And as you think about those fears with the spider in your hand, I want to ask you a question. Do you want to make a trade? Do you want to make a trade? Do you want to trade those fears for the fear of the Lord? To come into his presence, see who you really are, but then receive his forgiveness so that you can know that you are enough because he is your enough. To know you are worth it because he paid the highest price for you. To know that even though you may be broken, God is right there to begin putting all the broken pieces together into this marvelous masterpiece called you. If you want to grow in the fear of the Lord, the place you start to see God, the place where you need to look, is the cross. It's this most powerful God who spoke the world in existence, who is so holy and so right and so pure, and he entered our space as the man Jesus, fully man and fully God. He came to offer each one of us forgiveness of sin because we made a mess of things. Our sin has broken this world. It's broken our relationships and it's broken us. And Jesus took all of that sin upon himself when he offered himself as a sacrifice to atone for our sins. He gave his life to offer you forgiveness, and his resurrection, it proves he is good. It proves he is worthy. It proves that his love for you is so great that it can dispel every single one of your fears. John wrote in 1 John 4:18 about this fear, this love of God. There is no fear in love, but perfect love, it drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. Fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made perfect in love. So if you're still fearing, you're fearing this punishment. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus has forgiven you. He has taken that punishment for you. There is nothing now to fear. Come to him. Come to him and receive his forgiveness. Receive his forgiveness and be made perfect in love. We're going to sing a song in just a moment in response to whatever God is speaking to you about today. And before we do, I would like to pray for you. And I'm going to ask, we don't do this very often, but I'm going to ask that you would all bow your heads and close your eyes for just one moment. And maybe you would say, I don't think I've received God's forgiveness. I've been afraid of God, but it's the kind of fear that has made me run from him instead of to him. And I want his forgiveness. I want Jesus to be my Savior, my King, and my friend. If that is you, would you lift your hand up and put it right back down so I can see it? And maybe you, or there are others in this room who have already chosen to follow Jesus as Savior, King, and friend. And maybe you have let all the fears of this world get you off track. You've been struggling to put God at the center of your life, and you need to let go of your fears and the distractions, and you want God's help to do that. Would you raise your hand and put it right back down? I see those hands. We're going to pray. Father, we just love you, and we are grateful for your forgiveness. God, I pray for the ones who first raised their hands. God, I pray that they would receive your forgiveness today. God, would you come into their lives? Would they turn away from their sins? Would they lay those down today? Would you help them to follow you with everything they are? And God, for all of the rest of us who raised our hands for the other, I pray that you would meet each of us right where we are, that you would fill us with your grace and with your mercy. You would show us who you are and lead us into a growing relationship with you. Help each of us to let go of our fears that keep us from you and to be filled with your love, your perfect love that drives out every fear. Help each of us to live our lives for you. In Jesus' name, amen.